Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, what's up? What's going on?
Man, you came in kind of loud. Huh? You all right? Came kind of
loud,
I'm lady.
I'm coming in loud. I'd rather me come in loud than not come in at all.
Okay, you got it. It's right. You're right. Right. Okay. You make a point. Yo, what up? What up, everybody? It is Big Red and Brother B. It's the menu. We back. Blog Talk Radio. What's good? The menu. With Big Red and Brother B. How y'all doing? I know it's been like, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Since we've been on. Yeah, I had to take a little mental break, man. You know, sometimes life and all its issues and topics and all this stuff just kind of bogs you down. And, you know, especially with the climate that's going on now ever since, you know, this 45 dude, since he came in office, it has been kind of ridiculous for, you know, black, white, and indifferent. And it's just like, yo, you know, sometimes you want to stop thinking, but it's like you always got to look over your shoulder because you never know, especially when you're a person of non-color. Well, when you're a person of color, I should say, I'm sorry, because people of non-color don't have to worry about certain things.
Not at all.
Yeah, once again, it's Big Red and Brother B, the menu. You know, tonight, Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, guest calling number is 347-324-3395. That's 347-324-3395. And, Red, how have you been?
Oh, I've been fine. I've been okay. I've been, you know, just trying to survive this crazy world and, just taking it one day at a time, you know, just, you know, enjoying the happy times that I have been having, you know, a friend of mine got married recently and I'm very happy for her. And, you know, that was a good thing. Yes, that was something, you know, at least, you know, something good that went on that I enjoyed, you know. You know, with all this craziness going on in the world, we need some type of happiness going on. So that's about it. You know, just ready to get into these topics. You know.
Yeah, I do want to give a shout out to my. Yeah, true. I do want to give a shout out, however, to you know, my lady and her family, Lamb family. You know, my condolences. On the passing of their mother.
Yeah, definitely. Yes, yes.
You know, it's never easy. At any age is it ever easy, you know what I'm saying, to lose a parent, especially when you've already lost a parent and you only got one left. So it's never, you know, an easy thing. And definitely, you know, my condolences, our condolences, you know, to the Lamb family.
Yes, definitely.
You know, God bless. You know, she's in a better place than us with all this arguing, fussing, and fighting. She ain't got to deal with it. A lot, you know.
Absolutely.
My parents, your parents, except one, still got one holding on. Uncle James. Big shout out to Uncle James.
Yep, got one holding on. Exactly.
Uncle James with the raspy voice. Uncle James. So, yeah, man. You know, before we get into this topic, I do want to say, listen, I know people only believe the truth to the point of, to their, basically to their own point of view. And it's all good. You know, you accept your truth and you deal with your truth, but don't try to make your lie my truth and vice versa. No, I've never had, no, I'm not a racist, never been a racist, never will be a racist, because I don't look at color, I just look at humanity. There's only one race, and that's the human race. Everybody's fighting with ethnicities and backgrounds and nationalities and all this and that. Yeah, whatever, you know, we all human at the end of the day. When you go down in that ground, you, from ashes to ashes, dust to dust, from whence you came is what you go. So, you know, we need to, we really need to get it together. But it's obvious that there are certain types of people here that don't want to get it together. And I will never say that all Caucasian people have issues. Nope. Because I'll be the first one to say I have never had those type of racial experiences. Maybe a bias moment, but I've never had any racial experiences to come out and say, oh, white people did. White people, I've never had that. And mm-hmm. I don't look for those experiences. You know what I'm saying? I don't look for that in white people, Spanish people, Indian people, Asian people. I don't look for that. Yeah, I just treat you, you know, I treat you as you treat me. You treat me shitty, then I'm going to get some toilet paper and shit on your back. It is what it is. You treat me nice, mm-hmm. then, hey, we can sit down, break bread. You want a coffee? Want some tea? You know, that's just my attitude on things. It doesn't have to reflect anybody else's, but I just wanted to come across because the discussion may get a little, you know, sideways. So, you know, just in case anybody calls in and wants to, or somebody wants to label, oh, well, there's this. Listen, the views of Brother B doesn't, you know, necessarily represent the views of Big Red or The Menu or Blog Talk Radio. So let's get that popping off the bat. So with that being said, topic for tonight, white privilege. What is it? And are some going too far with it? So, Red, the floor is yours.
Yes. I'm going to say this. Yes, they are going too far with it. And because of that, I mean, not because of that. I think because of who we have in office is the reason why they're going too far. Because you can't say things and think that it's not going to affect you any type of way. And that's what it is. They figure they can say what they want, say however they want it, because now it's like, oh, somebody's giving me fuel to say what I want or what I've always been thinking or feeling. And now I'm going to say this. And you know what? I don't care how it, like, it's like they say, like they're saying to themselves, I don't care what the outcome is, but at the end of the day, you're affecting not only yourself, but everybody around you. And it's like you need to think before you speak. Think of how it's going to affect you or everybody else. Yes, you're taking it. They're definitely taking it too far. Definitely taking it too far.
Well, as someone stated to me, and I heard it also from someone else, which is true. You know, racism has always been there. It's just that now it's being televised. And, you know, I get it. Because, you know, now it's all over. So we have social media. So every little situation, you know, everybody has a camera phone. So everything is just being put out there on blast. You do something, it's going on Facebook, it's going on Instagram. Now, you can't take someone who... I mean, it's simple and plain, and it's not to sound insulting, but you can't take someone that's not educated and give them a platform such as or give them a job such as being president of the United States and expect them to do the right thing. Do I believe he's educated? No. He knows he's a charlatan. He knows what to do in terms of his field, you know, which is business to a degree, because he's, you know, he has some failed business dealings, you know, as well in his past. But you can't take someone who's not educated or all about people. Because I remember I used to hear people say, oh, well, yeah, at least he's not a politician. At least he's not a politician. But one thing the politicians have over him is that the politicians actually listen. It doesn't mean that they may do for the people, but they actually listen to the people.
Right.
But that doesn't mean, like I said, but it doesn't mean that they actually do what they're going to say. But they do listen. This guy is not listening to anything. Like, he's bamboozled everybody. He came in here with the Make America Great Again and basically was like a subliminal call to all the white people who felt that they were being wronged. And, you know, all the white people who felt that the country was no longer theirs or it was being taken away. Listen, you can't blame black people or other people for the country being taken away. I mean, we blacks and Hispanics and others, we don't make certain rules and legislation. We weren't the ones that made up outsourcing. We didn't start that. A lot of these jobs that are here, see, I love it how, you know, people want to be selective on certain topics. But let's talk about outsourcing briefly, where corporations are giving people overseas jobs. Corporations in this country are giving jobs to people overseas because, oh, I'm not paying, you know, they don't want to pay a living wage. They don't want to give anybody $10, $15, $17, $20 an hour just to telemarket or just to, you know, customer service. They'd rather give it to somebody overseas.
Right, so absolutely.
You can't blame us for that because they made those laws. Those same people that say that, yeah, we're on your side. No, they're not, because they're outsourcing. The same people that you go to put your money in the bank, when you make that when you may need to make that call to find out what's going on with your account, in another country has your information and they're talking to you and telling you what's what. So you can't blame that on us. It's not our fault, because once again, we don't make those laws.
Right, absolutely. And it's sickening that they, you know, you're getting mad or you're getting angry over something like that because you feel that you're feeling threatened now. And that's what I think it is. They feel threatened now because, like, they feel that they're being overrun, as you can.
Okay.
I guess you can say.
Okay. All right. So let's draw blood. So it's the same attitude, the way they feel now, is probably the same attitude that they had hundreds of years ago when they went into Africa and just rounded up a whole bunch of slaves, and when they were here using, you know, trying to kill off the indigenous people, and, you know, using Asians to help build the railroad as well. So you did a whole bunch of, you know, slave, because you don't want to do the job. And see, that's why, and as much as people don't want to really think about it or talk about it, you have certain people of non-color that feel that certain jobs are beneath them and they don't want to do them.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes, you will have Mexicans. Yes, you have blacks. You'll have other ethnicities doing these jobs because you won't do them.
Absolutely.
See, if you want to talk about making America great again, maybe you should have been a part of the brick builders. You know what I'm saying? And instead of you sitting back cracking a whip, maybe you should have picked up some brick and some cotton. Maybe you should have did something.
No, because it's about power. Why should I do that when I can have power over you to do it?
Well,
I can have fear. I can put fear in you for you to do what I want you to do. Because you know what? I'm white, so you have to do what I have to say because this is what I've been brought up, you know, thinking this is what they're telling me. This is what my parents tell me, my grandfather, my uncles, and this is what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. Why should I sit up there and do this menial labor when we can get them to do it? Let them do the labor.
Okay, but at the same time, now, along with that, so they seem to feel that it was their God-given right, part of that manifest destiny, for them to come here and damn near wipe out the indigenous people and have this Columbus cat say, hey, I got some people from another country. We could take them. You could take them and make them slaves. So they feel that it was their God-given right. So you really want me to believe that in between the Torah, the Al-Quran, and the Bible, and I'm sure other books, the basis is always peace and love. So you're trying to tell me that God said, go get you, go steal those people, go get them, go kidnap them, mess up the families, rape them, hang them, beat them, you know, do whatever you got to do and make them slaves. You're trying to tell me that God told you to do that.
Okay. Yeah, in their minds, because once again, it's about interpretation. It's what they interpret, you know, what, you know, interpretation of that. Yeah, that's what they told them to do. Oh, take these people and enslave them and treat them a certain way and you know, make them do what you want, because you know what, you're the ones that's supposed to be here. They're not supposed to be here, or they're not supposed to rise up, or it's like, yeah, it's that, that's the interpretation.
Okay. So I guess that's where white privilege started, because they feel like, you know, they are the ones, the numero unos, that, you know, they have an end all and be all. Now,
right.
There are.
I really would like to know where it really started from. I really would like to know, like, how this, like, where in there, you know, like, I don't, it may be part of that, but I just really would like to get deeper into, like, how do you feel that you're number one? Like, not to cut you off, but just like, you hear me now?
Okay. Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, I was watching All in the Family, which is the show with Archie Bunker and Edith and all that. And what's so funny is he was saying something about, you got to look out for number one. And he was talking about himself, like in terms of white people, like you have to look out for number one in America. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, where did this thinking come from where you're number one? Like who told them this?
Well, look at it like this. It's a built up, you know, arrogance. Like if you came over here, right, to come over here, and then you see, and I remember John Wayne said it. I think it was a 1971 or 72 interview with Playboy magazine, where he said, hey, we came over here, they didn't want to share, so we had to take them, you know, we had to take it. Now, okay, let's go at that perspective, because, you know, John Wayne is considered, you know, the greatest American white hero. You know, let's take it from where he, you know, let's take it from where he came from. And the indigenous people were probably like, no, we're not really feeling all of y'all coming over here. And the pilgrims said, hey, we don't care. We're going to take you out then. You don't want to share? We'll take you out. So after doing that, and then you tame who you call savage, you go the Africans.
Right.
You grab millions of them, and you have you see what I'm saying? It's a progression of arrogance. It's like, oh, we conquered them, so we can do anything. And this is what it's supposed to be, because they kept telling themselves it's our God-given right. God, if it wasn't right, then God wouldn't have allowed us to do this. If it wasn't right, then God wouldn't have allowed us to do that. See, that's what they tell them. Those type of people tell themselves that God, it's God's fault. God did this for us. God paved the way, so we're just doing what God said. So that's their crutch. That's their excuse. So I'm sure some of them still use it to this day. But after after a while, it just makes you – it's like a dude, you know, he sleeps with one woman, two women, three women, 12 women, 13 women, and the next thing you know, he starts feeling, oh, I'm the man. It's the same way. You start conquering these people, you're controlling these people, destroying these people. After you keep getting win after win after win, or what seems like a win, after a while you just feel like, yo, ain't nobody beating us. Yeah, we're invincible.
Right.
Ain't nobody beating us. And that's where it came from. I mean, I don't see anywhere else it could have came from. I mean, listen, they fled. See, I notice how nowadays they want to change the history books. And I find it disgusting, but at the same time, I find it funny, because if that was the case, if you feel that there was no blood on your hands, then you would have never changed. You wouldn't start changing the books now. But now you want to change the book to say that, you know, you don't want to talk about slavery. You just want to say we came over here you know, Africans came over here to work, to look for work. Okay.
But that's crazy.
First of all, why would Africans who were cool in Africa, let's say we used, like they wanted to call African savages living in the jungle. So they felt
right.
that they were doing something right by civilizing us with their civil.
By
they
bringing
like
us over
civil.
Here and have
yeah,
a look for work.
Yeah. Got to look for work. We didn't have any uses for money. So what did we need to come over here and look for work for?
Exactly.
We didn't need to come over here. We were cool where we were. Africans were cool where they were at. So why change it up in the books if you feel that you didn't have any blood on your hand? You do have blood on your hand.
Right. A whole lot of it.
And what they're trying to do is slowly erase that. They're trying to wash their hands of it. They're trying to change history. And I find it appalling, but yet it's going to be allowed because no one is going to challenge it.
Oh, no. And not at all.
Yeah, just like the NFL. Listen, I saw somebody post something on Facebook, which is so true. The NFL and the owners are not scared of black people because they know we're not going to stop watching the NFL. Like me, I'd say it. Fuck the NFL. I don't care.
Like, I don't watch that mess anyway.
But my whole thing is they know people are not going to stop. They know black people. They know those players are not going to walk off the field. They know that. They know they're not going to do it.
Because they know that we're going to turn on it. They know that we're going to turn on one another. That's the advantage that they have over us all the time. Because they know we're going to turn on one another. That's why they put, just like, okay, let me put out there with just like with Kanye West, with all the controversy that he's been under fire for from the time when he said that slavery was a choice. They know it. Okay, we're going to put him out here because he's a well-known, rapper, whatever. You know what? He done already turned his back on them. So you know what? Now we're going to let him say his piece. It's basically like they put him out there like a sitting duck. And the hunt is in his duck season. Like, remember, rabbit season, duck. It's like his duck season. Put him out there and let him parade around and say what he got to say and all that, this, that, and because you know what? If somebody had some sense, they would have told him, yo, bro, don't do that to yourself. They playing you, but you know what? He done already did it to himself already. So now it just came out now. So now guess what? Once again, the powers that be, they know, you know what? They're going to turn, everybody going to turn their back on him. Everybody going to turn on him.
Oh, he ain't been the since. Rest in peace to his mother. I know he ain't been the same since his mother passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got with that chick, it's something in their Kool-Aid. They gave him the Kool-Aid, and it's a brand that we don't even know anything about. And he's turning around, and he's gone. He's definitely gone.
I told
gone.
That to a friend of mine. And she was like, "Oh no, I don't think it was them. I don't think it's them." I said, "Yeah, okay, you can say that if you want to. I think it's them. It's that whole clan that got that boy messed up. That got all any man that they get would get messed up off. And I think the only one that doesn't it was the other young lady too. It was one of them. I don't know, one of the sisters that's really not." Out there, I don't remember her name, but the rest of them, every man that they get in their clutches, they bring them down.
Yeah, caller 1249, you're on the air with the menu. What's up?
Peace. I just told Dan that that's looking to give my lesson this evening.
Okay, well, first, sir, how are you and your name, please?
Oh, I'm Magneto. From out of PA, Richmond. Yes. But deep down inside, I've always been an angry person. Say that again?
No, I was listening to what you're saying. You've always been an angry person. Angry about?
White privilege.
Okay.
And how some black people trying to defend it. See?
Oh,
yes, that burns me up when black people try to defend that, you know, because they don't pull themselves up.
Well, I mean, you know what? It's to a degree, it's like, all right, let's take a step back real quick when a lot of black folk got mad at Bill Cosby because he was making some statements. And in my opinion, what was true is telling, you know, hey, you know, stop sitting out here having these babies. Dudes, pull your pants up, you know, go out there and get some. Now, people wanted to turn around and jump on Cosby because, you know, they were like, oh, well, you got somewhere. So all of a sudden you got money, you got this, you got that. And now, you know, you just want to mouth off to the rest of us. But you can't really say too much about Bill Cosby because Bill Cosby has been an activist for black people for the longest. And to sit back and see where he's at, to see where, for him to be where he's at, to see how black people are acting, I mean, to be honest with you, it is kind of embarrassing. Because, you know, a lot of us out there are shucking and jiving for the shiny little trinkets. Meanwhile, who's making money off of us? Who's making the real money off of us? This is why they feel, this is why they will always continue to feel privileged, because they know that there are some of us that are willing to be used and abused for the dollar.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, white privilege is, go ahead, sir.
But find that you spoke on Bill Cosby, I love that man, and I always have loved him, because I don't watch stuff on YouTube where, you know, I don't forget that I watched earlier, you know, how you know, he was trying to pull us up, you know, mentally, you know, and different things he was doing back in the day.
Well, see, a lot, and that's the thing, like, the white privilege don't want that out there. Like, you know, one thing I will say about when it comes to those type of white people, they're very subliminal. You have your subliminals, and then you have your ones that are out in the open that want to call the cops on you because you're standing in the Starbucks, or call the police on you because you're about to barbecue, or call the police on you because you're sleeping in your own dormitory. You're sleeping on the couch in a common area. You know, but the ones that really run the show are doing things subliminally. And the thing is, you didn't think that they knew what Cosby was doing? For years, Cosby has been sitting back and he's been making his money and doing this, but he's been making his statements too. But he never forgot where he came from. He never forgot about his people, but some of his people forgot about him.
Absolutely.
And see, that's the problem that I've always had. I've had a lot of arguments with people who seem to think that, oh, he's a rapist and all this and that. And I was like, yo, prove it. Because they're not even proving it themselves. You're talking, you know, I mean, see, that's the thing. It's crazy how some of us just jump to conclusions and want to believe someone else other than believe in ourselves as a people.
Yeah,
because like it go back to what I said. Because guess what? They know that black people's quick to turn on each other. They know it. That's what I'm saying. They know it. They know that black people are quick to turn on each other, and that's sad.
It is sad. It is sad. But I mean, to be honest with you, if I was in their position, I'd be doing it too. Because you know what? If it's profitable, if it's going to keep me in control of the situation or in control of the narrative, then I'm going to do it too. I mean, sadly, I have to look at both sides of the lawn. And it's like, why not? Some of us make it easy for the white people to do so. Because once again, we will not fight back. You think those NFL players are going to, you think they're going to forego all those millions of dollars?
No, because they want to keep that house up. Right, they want to keep that house up and cars and going to the clubs. And, oh, I got kids, you know, I got 3 and 4 kids to feed and probably like two and three other women besides just the wife or whatever. But I'm just saying, yeah, they got child support payments and all that. Listen, they got to keep that money flowing. And then they got family members that they're taking care of, so they're not going to part with that money.
Exactly.
But you know what's crazy?
Oh, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You go ahead, sir.
Oh, real quick, you know what's crazy? Here of losing.
What's that? Yes,
we will always be, we'll be, but white people, they're never in fear. They're not in fear because they know they will always come back. They will always bounce back. They will always, they will continue to be on top. Real quick, prime example, Harvey Weinstein. How many months or how much time was it before he decided to surrender himself to the police? Did he have? Because you know he got all his finances and everything in order, took
in
his
order,
name off, paperwork and all that. They gave him time to do what he needed to do before he soaked himself in.
Yeah,
we don't never have that time. And we don't even, you know what I'm saying?
Nope,
a lot of us don't even
right
look to that. They're just like, get him now. They don't give us time to get our paperwork straight. Because by the time they start suing him, he's going to be like, I ain't got no money.
Hey, please.
Oh, well, what about the rights? What about the rights to all your movies?
Yeah.
What about the rights to all your movies? Oh, what rights? I don't own those rights anymore. I don't have the rights to those movies anymore. Everything's been sold. You see what I'm saying? He had time to do that. But they wasn't giving Bill Cosby that time, nor were they allowing him to do that.
Game
you know what I'm saying?
Nope.
And,
not at all.
And Bill Cosby, he was conscious when a lot of these black folks won't eat, you know, walking and talking and breathing. This man was conscious back in the 60s.
Yep.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. A lot of this new generation, even people in our generation, in the 30s, the 35, the 45, they didn't know that. They didn't know that. They didn't know about Bill Cosby and how conscious he was, or the things that he was talking about and speaking about. Like, they'll try to get a lot of us just remember the Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. A different world and the Cosby
different
show.
World, Cosby show.
Yeah, and that's that. But and it's already been said that when A Different World came out, like blacks and Latinos going to school, minorities going to school went up. And see, the whole thing is we weren't supposed to be doing that. See, that's the whole thing.
Nope.
Remember, an educated minority, especially educated black man or black woman, is dangerous. It's danger to them. That's why it used to be illegal for us to read. And any white person that gave us a book was found to be an enemy as well. You see what I'm saying? But a lot of us don't do the history. We don't do the knowledge on the history. We don't sit down and have these discussions. We don't talk. A lot of our elders are unattached from, you know, our elders and where they're coming from, because they can teach us so much. But what are they teaching us if a lot of us are not listening?
Nope.
You know, 5891, you're on the air with Dominion. Wait, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, y'all? What's up?
What's up? What you was going to say?
Oh, about this last thing about Jack Johnson, how he got his little, you know, why they, yeah, they caught him, you know, for crossing him up. Me and my wife was talking, and we were saying, he just one man. What about the other millions that was mistreated just like him? And he did.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know why? You know why? Because he had to make something right. He said, you know what, I'm doing so much wrong, but you know what, let me make one black do one black thing good for black people, and now they're gonna like me again. That's what it was.
Hey, fellas, hey, Big Red.
Okay, dog.
Hey, brother on the phone. What's the brother's name?
Magneto.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Magneto, brother? Magneto. Hey, peace, brother. Listen. And I heard everything you said. I was listening. And, man, let me tell you something. Here we are. It is 2018.
Hello.
And the thing that's going on right now with us as a people is this. And Brother B and I had a talk about this. Magneto, I'm sure, Brother, and I'm sure Big Red will agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Brother B and I had a conversation not too long ago. Remember that conversation we had? Unfortunately, when they wave the almighty dollar in our faces, we go for the bait. And you know what? It's making us fall asleep. And it's 2018, and people, we are not awake.
No.
We are not awake. Because you know what it is? This is the thing. When you look at history, you know, a house divided cannot stand. But when a house is built together, it stands strong. You see, every time there's a chance for us to come together as a people, the quote-unquote powers that be will do anything to separate us. Take, for example, the when the Panthers, when black people wanted to unite and we put together the Panthers, what did the powers that be with the FBI say about the Black Panthers? That we were the CIA, the FBI, they all said that
the terrorist organization.
Now, which terrorist group do you know that fed the people? Which terrorist group that had an after-school program, that had a medical program to help the people?
No.
But when they
go ahead. What you saying? Go ahead. Finish your point. Go
now,
ahead.
When they saw that, what did they do? They dropped the heroin in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when we wanted to unite to make progress, what did they do in the 80s? They dropped the crack.
Oh, yep, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah,
of course. But you know, but the whole thing, the thing with that is they had to do it. They had to do it. Just like, listen, as many, and you know, no disrespect to some of our slain leaders, from Mega Evers to Martin Luther King to Malcolm X. I mean, but I, you know what? When I look at it now, compared to then, maybe we should have stayed segregated.
Yeah.
Because then we would have only relied on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because now, if you look at it, now if you look at
pushing them.
Because now, if you look at it, there's a. Oh yeah, definitely. And now, when you look at it, there's an economic segregation going on. It's a different type of segregation going on. And it's like for us to be in a type of society where we still are not accepted in 2018. I mean, what does that say? Like, why are we trying to fit into a, we're round. Why are we trying to fit into a square hole? It's obvious it's not going to happen because they do not want it to happen. They'll use our music, they'll use our culture, they use whatever they can from us, but they will not accept us at all. They'll accept what we bring to the table that they can use, but they won't accept us.
Exactly.
You know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like somebody all the time. They want to. Everybody want to be black, but nobody wants to be black.
No. Because you know what it is. Like, brother, I heard what you guys were saying about Bill Cosby earlier. Bill Cosby was a threat because why? For those of us who grew up watching the Cosby Show, to see a black family, okay, Bill Cosby focused on the black family where he showed the Huxtables were both products of the HBCU. For people who know the historical black colleges, that's what they were alumni of the black historic colleges. And all five of their kids were doing well. They were educating. They were pushing education towards their children. And a lot of people, and you know what? I've even heard some criticism from our very own criticizing the Cosby Show.
Oh, well, yeah.
And that's the sad part about it.
Oh, wait a minute. I love the one where they say, they think they white. Wait a minute, hold on. Mm. I love when people say that, like I hear, you sound white, or why you
sound
acting
white.
First of all, I didn't think that being successful in your own right was acting like someone else.
Right,
like, what makes them white?
Like,
what
is trying to be white? No, it's called proper grammar and diction.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what it's called.
I didn't know that. You know, they were the poster childs for success
and, you know, being, you know, acceptable. But see, once again, like you said, like everyone here has said, that's where we as a people get it twisted and seem to always want to follow what the white man doing, but we're not following what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly.
Because a lot of us are lost and don't know what we should be doing because we're too busy following instead of being the leaders. And that's a problem.
True.
This is why white privilege, and the thing is with white privilege, man, I mean, we're looking at social media. We see everybody, like, white people nowadays have no filter. Look at Roseanne. She just made that little tweet, and then she got snipped real quick. You can't put a black person's name and a monkey in the same sentence and think it's going to be okay. She knows that.
It's not.
It's not just that she said, but she said something about someone being a Nazi or something. Like, it's like you're labeling people, you're putting labels on people. But you know what kills me out the whole thing with this white privilege, with white privilege, and like I said, they're taking it too far. Because once again, you say what you said, then like Roseanne and so many other people that you see on Facebook and you hear about this happening. Then you want to apologize afterwards, and then you want to try to make excuses for why you said it. I'm going to say this on the end. I'm sorry. Bullshit. Stop making excuses, because that's what it is. It's an excuse. You know what you said. You said it, and you know what you said. And that's the case.
You're just mad because your show got killed.
Exactly. Or you got caught. At the end of the day, like I said, if you got an opinion, keep it to yourself. Like I said, your parents didn't teach you. If you ain't got nothing nice to say about somebody, then don't say it at all. Think before you speak. Now, you've got everybody on your show cut from their check, and these people are probably excited. You know, they're probably excited to be doing that again because, you know, it was something that they enjoyed. Now, you're going to cut it because you want to run your mouth, and then you're going to use an excuse and try to say a sleep aid, you was under a sleep aid. Get the fuck out of here. Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. Are you kidding me?
No, but you
that's
know what?
Just like, I'm sorry. That's it. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Wait, I'm surprised somebody didn't say, did Bill Cosby give you that?
I'm waiting for the joke. Somebody should say, did Bill Cosby get this before the show? Was he doing that to you?
You know they'll be trying to charge
him. Was he doing that to you on the old show? Like, come on.
No,
are you kidding me?
Crazy. Listen.
And just another thing, like, me and my wife were watching the situation about Haiti. How they rebel and got their independence, and all the industrialized nations put sanctions on them, and that's upright stop dealing with them people. And we look at them as dead like savages. And white people say, see, they can't get nothing together, but they don't tell their side.
You fought us and won? Oh, no. We got to shut you down. We don't want nothing.
I'm going to say this as a Haitian American because my family, they came from Haiti, and I'm proud of my Haitian heritage. And one thing for sure that I had the sad thing of experiencing. I went to an experience when back in the days when I was in school, and shockingly, most black kids would be making fun of Haitian kids. I'm like, you know, based on the poison that you see in the media about Haiti, Haiti's not a dirt poor country that you look at and think, oh, the people there are so ignorant, the people there are so stupid. And there were so much sanctions against Haiti.
Yes.
So many. And you know what? It took about approximately 50 years before Haiti was recognized as an independent nation.
And then you see what France did to them, right?
Yeah. They took the money. We paid them their money,
and they still didn't, in return, try to give the people anything, you know, to pull themselves up.
Of course they did.
That's why I don't like America, and I don't trust white people. The most dangerous thing about the white man today is his smile and his handshake. It's very nice.
I heard that before. I've heard that before. But I mean, once again, listen, we're not gonna, you know, listen, we can't sit there and talk about all, you know, we can't generalize. But there is it's that old school mentality that wants to keep in power and wants to stay in power, and they're trying to groom their kids to like, hey, listen, we have to keep this going or else we'll be the minority, they'll be the majority, and then they'll be telling us what to do. See, right now, I think that some of them are in fear. That's why they're going to such extreme, they're in extreme measures. They're in fear because, you know, we got one up on them in this. Like, we're top athletes. We're out here making money. We're out here doing business.
We were
president. To the point where, yeah, exactly. And I think if you notice when Barack Obama became president, they started buying guns. Mm-hmm. Because I guess they thought Barack Obama was going to come in here and just let every black person out of jail, and it was going to be some type of, you know, anarchy and black So I guess to them it was like Fear of the Planet of the Apes to them. So they had to go out and buy their guns, and they was like, we're going to defend ourselves. But wait a minute. Y'all scared. I have to say, to all the Caucasians that may be thinking that way, black people ain't thinking about you. We too busy thinking about what we got to do day to day. We ain't paying attention to you, so you can lock your doors, go buy your guns, and do whatever you got to do. But trust me, we are not thinking about you. We ain't thinking about what you did this summer or the last summer or the one before that. We don't care. We ain't paying attention to you. You more
trying to keep rules of our damn edge too.
Exactly. We ain't thinking about you. Ain't nobody paying attention to you. And I think maybe you're kind of mad that we're not paying attention to you because you're racist for nothing. Like you feed off of that racism to give you a reason to be angry at us, but we're not paying attention to you. We don't care about what you're talking about or what you're doing because we're trying to do stuff for ourselves. But I guess you're jealous because we're so focused on us, we're not focusing on you.
And we're not dependent on them. That's what it is. They want us to be dependent on them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. But it's not happening.
We need to stop giving off that notion that we're dependent on you. That has to stop.
Right. Exactly. Exactly, but see, in their minds, that's what it is. They're doing this, and they're going to school, and we're doing it. This is what you, once again, it's like a passive-aggressive thing. You want us to go to school, but then you don't want us to go to school. You want us to do
money.
You don't want us to do that.
Well, they want the money. When it comes down to college, they want the money. Yeah. They want the money for college. That's what they want. But when it comes down to public schools and stuff like that, you have to look at, once again, the economic and educational segregation that's going on. Because if you live in this area, you can only go to this school. If you live in this area, you can only go to this school because everything is zoned out now. And if you're in a certain type of class, you can't be here. You know what I'm saying? A lot of this is geared towards us. But, you know, they'll try to make it sound like it's something else. I mean, come on, we ain't stupid. But they know that there's a part of black people that are just like, hey, listen, I'm just trying to live. Then you got your rebels, and then you got your people that are just like, listen, I'm with Trump. You know, there's the division.
Right.
The division is this, and Brother B and I had a talk about it off the air. You remember what we had to say about the House Negro 5 and the Fields Negro 1? There's a reason for that. And I'm sure the brother who's with us on the phone will agree to this and say like this, you know, that they're doing everything to distract us from ourselves.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
They're doing everything to distract. But and you know what's sad about it? Some of us are falling for it.
Feeding into it. That's right.
Of course.
Feeding right into it.
Hold on, caller 4644. You're on the air with the menu. What's up?
All right. Here I am.
K-Dog.
You guys know how I usually roll.
Yeah. I know. We know. Welcome back.
Yeah, we know. We know.
But you know what they do, man.
Whatever.
In reality, white folks ain't giving a damn about what black people do. I don't know of any whites that sit around the table. You know, whites made me a lot of money in my business because of the type of business that I was in. They are predominant. And if they had these animosities, like you say, so, and I know another black woman, and I mean, look at the, I mean, I'm talking about commercial construction. So look at the Russell down in Atlanta Moody that just got through doing the Mercedes-Benz dome, a stadium. You know, the majority that worked for those two corporations, those two companies, was probably white workers. So to say that the you know, you guys kind of stretching it a little bit, I think. And blacks have black privilege also, man.
Black privilege?
Blacks have, huh?
When do we have privilege?
Yeah, blacks have white black privilege. And somebody mentioned about sports earlier, like the NBA. Some of the moves that I see going on the court nowadays, back in the 60s, those would have been blatant fouls. But because they dominate, they can set the tempo of the game. You have blacks that have privilege and scholarships. You have scholarships that specifically for blacks that many are not even taken off the table. Now, I don't know if this is true or not.
That's affirmative action. That's affirmative action.
No, that's not affirmative action. That's private companies. That's private, in some cases, private organizations that put scholarships, and they label them specifically for blacks, just like you have those that's for the Daughters of the Confederacy, for those who are left-handed, and so on and so on. You got black organizations that don't allow whites in it. And I can name some, but I really don't want to, but if you want me to, I could name some.
I don't care to know of them.
Huh?
I really don't care to know of them because, once again, still isn't a thing such black privilege. If there was black privilege, if there was such a thing as black privilege, then why did we have – I forgot the gentleman's name from the Milwaukee Bucks that got beat up and tased by police officers over what – where he was parked at in the parking lot.
Well, you have some ignorant-ass police officers that's working in departments – that's in municipalities. Some of these municipalities are predominantly blacks, who blacks don't control their employees. You have land set aside for you in African countries, Kenya, Ghana, Zimbabwe, just because of who you are. I know brothers that's got resorts built that in the contract that you sign, it tells you no whites allowed. And one brother was going to try to be sneaky, built his house, and try to move in with his white girlfriend. And they said, nope, you can't do that.
But that's over there. That's not here.
Well, that's somebody made mention of France.
But see, that once again, that's over there. That's not here. See,
all right, and France is over there too. So,
truth be told, the American black man and woman will always be looked at different than blacks anyplace else.
I must say this. I have never experienced it.
All blacks are not the same. Okay.
Would you agree with me?
Oh,
all blacks are not the same.
Just like all white people.
In the case, you can be my type, but you may not be my kind. But somebody asked me a question.
Yeah, hey, Pion, here's a question I got for you, right? Like these foundations, like America Enterprise Institute, the Heritage Foundation. I didn't know these foundations was racist as the way they, you know, I didn't know they were racist as I thought they was, because I didn't know they have an attack on black scholarship.
Well, I don't know about that. I can say this. Nigerians have foundations in Houston that is specifically for Nigerian kids. It's not for African Americans.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah, absolutely, it's right. And you talk about schools. I know some African Senate schools that's private, that if you white and try to come up in there with something on the slide, they will run you out. And even those public African Senate schools, even though they can't deny whites from going into them, but they don't change one iota of their program to accommodate, you know, whites. So you do have some privilege. And wait a minute, real quick. I heard that on the SAT that black students are 260 points, Latinos maybe 137, Asians are deducted 100. I'm no, they deducted 50 points before they even begin the test.
That I
now
believe.
Somebody check
why,
that.
And why do you? And why? But why do you? But, even if that's true, why do you think that
mm-hmm.
is? Because
I don't
know.
My kid. I'm gonna tell you the truth.
Someone wants to keep up that stereotypical attitude that black people are not as smart as white people.
Mm-hmm.
Listen,
mm-hmm.
Don't listen. I don't want your points. I don't want your points. I don't want anything. I don't want anything more than what I ask for, what I work for. I don't think we need that.
Well,
but that's something that they want to put in place.
Well, I agree with you.
They
want
to feel like,
points.
Oh, we gave you a chance. No, I don't.
I agree with you. You shouldn't want the points. But in reality, let's talk about reality.
And what's the reality?
And when you look at the average ACT score in some black school districts, just recently in Baltimore, you had 3,000 and some odd students take the math test, and I think 13 or 17 out of 3,000 and some odd pass. I mean, that's a reality. You have a school in New York that's based on science and technology. I can't think of the name of it. And the kids that's passing the entrance exam, even in a black community, is not black kids. Now, whose fault is that? That's black society's fault.
No, it's not just black society's fault. That's the Department of Education, period. Go ahead, sir.
But you got to realize that this economic terrorism that's being committed against us, that's like our living standards in these metropolitan cities. Now, look at all
mm-hmm.
the money George Bush took all the trillions of dollars out of us.
Well, they didn't take no trillions. They didn't take no trillions of dollars.
They took trillions of dollars. They took about $3 trillion in total.
Well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you, give you another example. And another thing on when you talk about schools, you, the community, supposed to control what goes on in your school. That's not white folks' responsibility. If they've moved out of the community.
Wait. So, but who controls the narrative of it? Who controls the?
What do you mean?
Who controls the education?
Let's talk about.
Let's
be real calm on
this. American
history. Let's be real calm on this.
I understand. Trust me.
Let's be real calm on this. There's a school called Pomogen, St. Louis, Missouri. It's an African centered school. It's Burka Guilty Pomogen because one of the founders, along with myself and some others, she passed away, so they honored her with the name. They went in, the black parents went in, and the books that they didn't want their kids exposed to, they took the damn books out. They did what they were supposed to do. Your state constitution gives you, as a local district, the ability to set whatever your curriculum you want it to be. When it comes time for putting new books, you know, going from one social study book to another, and the same thing in science and history, they put those books on display where parents and stakeholders can come and review those books and give their thumbs up or thumbs down on them. I mean, those things happen. I experienced them myself. I don't have no reason to lie.
Nobody said you did, but it still doesn't excuse the fact that no matter what you say, no matter what anybody says, white privilege is here. It's been here.
You have
and it's
a,
not
it's
going
been
anywhere.
Here.
Another thing, too,
here,
you ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe this. In the St. Louis area, because they published it in the newspaper and people can go verify it, you have black school districts like Jennings, Normandy, and St. Louis Public School District that have more money per child. And we're talking about school districts that are damn near 99% black. They have more money per child for education than white school districts do.
But PR.
Okay.
But the parents is not reaping the rewards of privileges like these white kids' parents. You go in these neighborhoods, these babies come to school like they have nothing to live for because they're looking at their living conditions. Come on, Peter.
Well, I ain't saying that don't happen, but you know they have schools where you have free and reduced lunch programs. I think that African Americans should be controlling those lunch programs that go on in those schools, but they don't. They don't put together programs in order to do that. I heard that some in Atlanta do, but I'm not sure. And you have other instances where the parents, in Normandy School District, that I know very well, they have the latest in technology, in IT. They have all the schools wired, Wi-Fi and all that stuff. Yet and still, the academics that's going on in that school is where, because of a law, parents were starting to bust their kids out into Francis Howell, which is a white school district. Now, I will admit, some parents took their kids down to Pomosia in St. Louis rather than they send their kids out to the white district. So it's not all that cut and dry.
Hmm? No, it never will be. But all right, let's just stab it in the heart. White man only gonna let you get so far. Simple and plain. You're only gonna go so far. So these little spots of places where you're talking about, that's like me being a white man saying, oh well, wait a minute. We let y'all have a little bit over here, and then y'all got a little bit over here, and y'all got a little bit. So you can't come to me and tell me that y'all ain't got nothing because we let y'all have a little bit over here. See, y'all got your own thing.
Well,
y'all got your own thing, and then y'all turn around, and then y'all misuse it, y'all mistreat it, or y'all don't want it. First of all,
let me ask you
about
an
educational mm-hmm. system that doesn't apply to us, an educational system that's not for us, an educational system that's not about us. So why would I want to learn a history or be a part of a curriculum that has nothing to do with the betterment or showing any positive images of me?
Let me ask you a question.
Why?
I hear
Absolutely.
That. Do you have kids?
Yes.
Do you have children in school?
Yep. 15, yes, yep.
Well, I'm happy. Now, listen
daughter.
To me very closely. I'm happy that you have that attitude because my kids don't have to worry about competing against yours. And at the National Society of Black Engineers, last two conventions, one was in Lawrence, Kansas. The other was in Pittsburgh. Northrop Grumman hired 400 black engineers, young youth in college, coming out of college. 400 in 2 years. They fired 4 1 year, 400 1 year, 400 another year. They was all black. Now, the only thing with that is that in the National Society of Black Engineers, Nigerian students make up 40% of the population. Makes you want to wonder, don't you?
Makes me wonder what?
What's going on?
It doesn't make me wonder what's going on. Because once again, you're talking about people from another country coming
here for
opportunity.
But they're from another country.
Yeah, they may be born here, but they're from another country.
So wait a minute. So if they're born here,
they
so
just as black.
Born
wait
here,
a minute. They
and,
just as black as Wesley Snipes.
Oh really? Because once again, but you made sure you said Nigerian. So when you said that, that made me seem that they weren't from here. But since you're saying
Nigerian
American,
they maintain their identity, by the way, even if they are born here.
Look at it. I don't care where you from. You black here. You ain't no Nigerian. You ain't no African. You ain't no this. That you black. They don't care where you from. You black.
Well, that's not true because they actively
listen.
They actively seek
you know
them out, especially in your Ivy League school where black males in these Ivy League schools, your Harvards and Yales,
because they feel
40%
that they're
of those black
harder.
Males are Nigerian. And others too. Look, I understand when you have to face these realities, but you shouldn't do that to your kids. You shouldn't tell your kids that the white man is not going to. Let them bring them here to St. Louis, and I drive around the St. Louis area and point to buildings, tall buildings that black men have put up.
I never told my daughter anything. My daughter tells me. She tells me what she sees. She go to a Catholic school. She tells me what it's all about. She talked to me about her teachers and how her teachers, some of them seem biased, some of them seem bigot.
Then
some of them,
you need to check that, man.
Listen, check this out. I work to check it. You know what happens? Oh, I feel threatened, angry black man in the house because of his kids. See, that's the see. They always got a label to
no,
throw.
No, wait a minute. Who
because
said
soon
that?
As the parent can say, whoa, listen.
No,
wait,
because
man,
that's what it's
going to
be. If he goes up and
soon
he goes
mother.
Well, hang on for a second.
Wait a minute.
I want you guys, before you cut me off, I'm going to give you the telephone number of Demetrius Johnson. Demetrius Johnson played for the Detroit Lions. He has a Demetrius Johnson Foundation here in St. Louis. I want you to call him and ask him about the experience that his daughters had in the Pattonville School District and what he done. Unfortunately,
okay.
He did it by himself. He took on the whole damn school district because of some incidents that went on the bus with his daughter.
Well, maybe
so
he was able to do that.
What I'm saying
is
that
if
you
able to do that.
If well then there's nothing stopping you from doing it too, in order to take up for your
parents,
child.
First of all, listen. Let me just be real blunt. You're talking to a 43-year-old black man who has been through the system in terms of family court, and that's just family court. I see how they treat us. I know the game. So to sit there and talk about, oh, we can go do this or we can go do that. Listen. One
it's
judge
not as
is different
as
from
is.
One judge is different from the next judge. All of them, everything ain't fair. Everything ain't looked at as the glass is half empty. Oh, the glass is half full. It ain't looked at like that. So please do not go out there throwing these dreams, these whole thoughts of well, maybe you can do it too. Because in the reality, our people need to be equipped with the fact that there's always going to be this wall that we're going to have to get over.
Well,
don't make it seem like there's a ladder. Because there ain't no ladder. There is no ladder.
I can only talk. Now, see, you talked about family court. I never had that problem. I married my 10-year-old neighborhood sweetheart, and we was together for a long time until she passed away. And we had children out of it, and I have grandchildren out of it. So I can't tell you and can't relate to your problems that you have in family court.
It was just me using it as an example of what we're constantly up against because we are stereotyped, simple and plain.
Well, the last time I had a moving violation in traffic was back in like 75. Never had one since then.
Well, that's you. And that gentleman from the Detroit Lions, he got money. And somebody probably
liked how
he threw a ball.
That dude
and
had some
said,
money,
well,
so guess what? They're going to listen to him because he had
white
money.
Always
to
no,
they
didn't. It's not that he had. It's not that he had money.
In that aspect.
It's not that he had money. It's that he went to the school and raised the issues. And many
right,
people don't do that.
Why was he able to raise the issue? Why they didn't give
because,
him a problem?
I'm going
to
tell you why.
Is who he is. That's why.
I'm going to tell you why. I think he did. I'm going to give you his phone number here in a second. Well, you can call anybody want to call him. I give him their phone number, and you can call him and talk to him yourself. He was able to because he got in his vehicle. That's what I'm talking about. No matter what, how much evidence is put on the table,
no
you still won't believe it.
Because
it's
like
evidence,
I said, I don't
it's
have no
evidence.
Need to call him.
Yeah, I don't have no need to call him either.
I don't have no need to call him.
All right, well then I won't
know.
But how do I know what you're saying is true?
Hello.
I never experienced that. How do I know what you're saying is true?
Well, likewise, vice versa. How do I know what you're saying is true? See, my whole thing
is
we
still make
the win. We can, but see, you know what? Once again, if I was a white man listening to this conversation, I would sit back here and laugh because we're going back and forth about a whole bunch of stuff that ain't going to change until we begin to unify and actually start to do stuff for self. But see, the problem is when we stop relying on them, that's when then there's an issue.
What are you
going to
do
messing
in this country?
Them,
what are you going to do in this country as far as building? I hear people talking about starting their own countries and nations. What are you going to do without influence, input, or something that's made by whites?
Oh, so you said, well, you're saying we ain't smart enough? Look at the Egyptians. Well, you think everybody got
Egyptians? Egyptians were not African Americans.
What were they?
Egyptians didn't. Amun did not mix.
I didn't say
Amun.
Oh, wait.
Amun,
wait a minute. What did you say?
Amun detests mixing.
Wow.
So you just said that African Americans are basically different from everybody
else.
Well,
let's put it like this, and I take it back. They were not what you call black. you as a black American could not go to Ghana and become a hierarchy in the Akan society. You know why? Because you're mixed. They don't allow that. And the same thing with the Egyptian. Hatshepsut was born of the Immaculate Conception because Amun got tired of mixed kids.
We're not going to go into that.
Well, you brought it up.
You brought it up by saying you.
I didn't say nothing about no Egyptians. You did.
No. What did you say? You made it sound like we are not capable of doing it without them.
All right, look. Well, tell me something that you need to start to build a. Tell me something that you need to build a society. You're out in the middle of nowhere. What do you need? You need electricity, right? You got to have electricity.
Yeah, but
who
created
electricity? The turbines today? General Electric, Siemens. Those are white companies. And I'm not saying that blacks can't get to a position where they do it, but they're not doing it now.
Yeah, but who created it?
They're not
going to
allow it.
The companies took it over.
Who did what?
Who created it?
Hold on.
All these companies took it over. Who created it?
Hold on.
I don't understand what she's saying.
Hold on.
But look, I ain't trying to. I just wanted to put that out there.
I got you. 6947, you're on the air with the menu as well as 3054. Miss Cherry and Hot Rod, what's going on? What's up?
Hello, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Just wanted to chime in on a little bit of what I'm hearing. And I think you have a caller. I just chimed in, so I don't know your name, sir. But it seems that you're using maybe personal experiences, and you're using that to cover a whole group of people. And I'm not discrediting what you're saying, but depending on where you're from, your area, your personal experiences, it doesn't necessarily reflect the majority of people that look like you on the outside. I get what you're saying, because people from Africa don't necessarily feel the same way as African Americans that were born here. You know, so their experiences are not going to be the same. They may not feel racism when somebody calls them nigger because they didn't have that when they were in Africa and they winded up coming over during a diaspora. So I get what you're saying, but I just want to point out that maybe just we can all agree that that might be your personal experience and not reflect everybody else's.
Well, I agree with you, ma'am. And if you was earlier, I said that all blacks are not the same. You have blacks that flee, like blacks in D.C. fled D.C., just like whites flee D.C. You have black enclaves outside of Ferguson that they formed the line and said, you protesters are not coming into our community. So nobody can say that they speak for everyone. But I hear people using the term we. Just too general, because there is no such thing as a we. Everybody, including black Americans, have different attitudes, they live in different classes, and they see things different.
But you see how, before Hot Rod steps in, but you see how white privilege allows this? You see how white
allows
privilege
what?
Make these conversations? Because if it wasn't for white privilege, we wouldn't be having these conversations.
Oh,
so
you mean because we're speaking
nothing.
on Blog Talk Radio, which is a white platform?
Well, listen, hey, yeah. White, but see,
well, we
white
used to have, there was
privilege.
A thing called Black Voices at one time, way before.
Well, listen, well, where is it? So I can sign up.
Well, they're out of business. They're not around.
Oh, well, I wonder
we're
why.
We're talking about going
you know
back
what?
In, the, in
this,
the 80s.
Because sometimes, you know what, when certain businesses get too big that are not white-owned or white-influenced, they shut them down.
How are they going to shut the business down? Tell me, how are they going to shut my business down? I put up 40-story office buildings and bridges. We
you
have
really
black women here that do the same
thing. Brother, you support Trump. You support Trump. So that's
why
you
I support his issues.
Yeah,
I support his issues.
But
I'm
pro
sorry. Am I hearing that you're a business owner?
I used to be a structural steel erector. I put up buildings like the one that fell in 9/11 in New York.
Okay, so you're a business owner. That was my question. So then my next question to you is, as a business owner, do you not realize that sometimes the prices that you get maybe vary from your white counterparts?
No, they were not. We had competitive bids.
You had, when you when you went to go for bids and things like that, you were given, you feel you were given the same exact opportunity and prices as people that did not look like you?
Well, I got the bids, yes.
No, I'm asking, do you think that you were offered the same exact prices? Save your bid with...
They don't all... Well, hang on for a second. You got it kind of backwards. Nobody offer you anything. You offer to do it
to
for
do
a price and under certain stipulations yourself.
Correct. I get that. So you're coming in at a price, and they're picking your price because it's lower than everybody else, correct?
My price is attractive, and in my bid scope, I cover all that can possibly be done.
Now, when you go about supply, Piazza,
I almost feel like you didn't answer my question. I almost feel like you didn't answer my question. But once again, you put in bids that were lower than your counterparts in order to get these contracts.
And not all the
correct?
Time. Not all the time. Sometimes they was
so,
higher.
Sometimes.
Right, where you at?
No, yeah, you don't get every. You don't win every project that you bid on. You're not successful in obtaining. In some jobs I bid on, double and triple and quadruple the price because I really didn't want it. And guess what? I was still awarded.
Yeah, I think my point to you is that in a lot of black businesses, one of the reasons why we're not so successful is that the prices that we're given in order to get the startup is a lot higher, whether that be them.
Give me an example, please.
It's two prices.
Give me an example.
What do you mean, a general example?
Give me an example of a business that this process that you're mentioning happens.
That when you go to do a startup, when you go to seek out loans and things like that, that you're quoted a higher interest rate than others? Is that what you're asking me, or you want a specific?
That doesn't happen in his startup.
Yeah,
town.
But you said a business. You're talking about startup. I'm talking about a company that's already established. Its doors are open, ready to do business. So what you just said, tell me how it applies. You know
well,
you had – let me tell you
okay.
this. Let me say
well,
this. What blacks had
– Would you like me to answer your question? Would you
yeah,
like
but
me
let me
question?
Throw this out there real quick. This may help you with your question. Listen,
go ahead.
You had an organization called a Minority Business Council. It was a consortium. And black businesses and also others that come under the designation, their loans were guaranteed 75%. So if you went to the bank and wanted $1 million, $750,000 of that was guaranteed to the bank in case you fail. That's what was available. It's still there today. If you've done a project, say for Anheuser-Busch, which I can attest to, Anheuser-Busch was a member of the consortium. St. Louis Public Schools, a member of the consortium. Detroit Public Schools. So if you've done jobs for those companies, you as a black business, your loan was guaranteed to be paid back 75%.
Can I ask
that was black privilege.
Yeah, why do you think that was created?
Okay, hold on.
It was created to help those businesses get a start.
It was created to deal with the problem that was already existing. That's why it was created. That's the point that I'm making.
I just have one question for my friend from St. Louis. Well, 2 weeks ago, he mentioned at the end of the show that slavery ended too early.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to us
exactly
why?
I said slavery ended too early. I don't think I said slavery ended too early.
You mentioned that slavery ended too early.
Well, I tell you what, there's some Negroes I would put in slavery today. Maybe that was under pretense that I was saying. I'm sure you would too.
It's white privilege.
And you know another thing. Let me tell you something else about that bidding process.
I'm sure you would.
Hang on for a second. If we were bidding against non-union contractors, the union would put what was called a target fund. We would bid the job at the same rate that they bid it. And if we got the job, the union would put the money that's the difference between the non-union wage and the union wage, no matter if you was a black company or white company.
But do you listen to some of the stuff they say sometimes, or you just like to talk a lot? Because I know you believe what some of the stuff you're saying, but sometimes you sound like you contradict yourself. I'm not.
Name me something I contradict myself on, please. I'm listening.
2 weeks ago, like I just said, you just say slavery should have ended early. And 2 weeks now, all of a sudden, you don't remember it? I'm sorry.
I don't remember saying that slavery ended too early.
That's what I'm asking you right now. That's what I'm asking you right now.
Because, you know, in reality, you know, all Africans were not slaves, right?
No, I'm not arguing with you about that. Well, you said only 2 weeks ago. Go ahead.
My thing is, once again, he for a black man, he has had a taste of white privilege, and it tastes good. And I really believe that you roll with it because they allow you certain freedoms that other people can't. Because see, just like Ben Carson is allowed to run with them. Kanye is allowed to run with them because he believes and he stands for what they believe in. And I don't know if it's the House Negro Serum or it's something new for 2018, but when you start to align yourself with
let's not talk about Black Enterprise because they're still redlining.
If you look at Black Enterprise, top. Well, let's have a conversation back and forth. We don't want to try to talk over each other.
Well,
I mean,
we got eight minutes left.
I'm going to get out of here in 2 minutes. If you look at Black Enterprise top 100 businesses, where Dave Stewart here in St. Louis is a $9 billion business, in the top 20, you got six black companies that's involved in the automotive industry. You got a brother in Nevada by the name of Eric Mims, who's making a electric car which has a 1,000-mile radius, which is very good, and also collaborating with some Nigerians. Those people don't want to hear this stuff. And I would white privilege is not no issue with them.
Well, white privilege
I'm happy
that
white
them, and it
I'm
doesn't,
thinking,
and it doesn't
there's
apply
not
to
only
you
there is there white privilege
what
but
you
there's,
want from them.
Well, wait a minute. There's not only there white privilege, but there's Asian privilege. There's Nigerian privilege. You know, blacks want to start businesses and retail business.
When are we going to get our privilege? When is black privilege?
When you make it, make your privilege.
We've
been trying to make it. It ain't happening.
Well, some people are. Some blacks are. Some African Americans are doing very well.
I think
in your town. In your town.
No, they're not in my town. Look at it's Hightower in Ohio has a very large petroleum company where they produce diesel, gasoline, and sell it all over the Midwest. They're doing very good. They're $300 million business.
Can I say this one thing to you?
I'm going to say this and I'm going to go.
Wait, let me get out of here.
I took up too much of your time.
No.
You have.
I need you to think about this and explain. I need you to think about this and explain this to me. When you can give me the answer why you don't never hear about black or a whole bunch of Asian or other police officers killing people as to where you have a whole bunch of white police officers killing unarmed black people, when you can and they're getting paid leave, when you can explain that to me, what's the answer, right?
You can stop now if you want to.
Let me tell you what I'm gonna say.
Listen very closely. Next to Ferguson, Missouri, you had cities like Jennings, Wellston, Moline Acres. Guess what they done? They got rid of their white police department. Fired them all.
How?
And then they came back with a cooperative, which consists of people from the community, and they also are recruiting from the local high school. Whereas the police officers, even Steve Springer, the county executive, made this statement. He believed that the police department should reflect the people that it serves. You are the employer of your community police. If you don't do what you're supposed to do as an employer over your employees will run buck wild. That's all I have.
Y'all go ahead and carry on, man.
I'll try to catch you next week.
If you can please give this information,
please send that information.
I just gave you the information. Look it up. Jennings, Missouri. Wellston, Missouri. W-E-L-L-S-T-O-N. Look it up. I'll see you guys later, man. And stop being scared.
Stop being scared. You punk. Get out of here.
Peace out.
Get out of here.
Listen.
So I think.
Hey, K-Dog, be nice.
One thing I do agree with Mr. I think St. Louis, where you coming a lot from. I'm sorry.
Kiyonki.
I think what he's saying is that we need to start looking at self empowerment as opposed to being stagnant and looking at other people to
totally
resolve
agree.
Our issues. And everything
no, we agree.
He's giving
we agree.
You
we should
Yeah,
you
everything
do,
that he's giving
do
you, he's kind of saying, well, this worked over here, why doesn't it work there? And I think that's a little closed-minded because it really does depend on where you're from and your background and your history.
Right.
But
exactly.
I do agree with him that we should be looking at self-empowerment. I'm not anti-white. I'm just pro-black.
Me
There's
neither.
A difference.
But that's the thing. They will listen, anytime they see too many black people together, it's a problem. Either we're inspiring
yes,
to
like
do
I mentioned
something.
Earlier.
So us trying to unify, they know once we get together, it's a wrap. So they will not allow it. Like I said, the white privilege, they'll let us, you can have this here. You can have a little bit of this. You can have a little bit of this. We'll spread it out. But to have it all together under one roof is
not
going to happen.
No.
Because
exactly.
that means, cause then that means it'll once it spirals out of control, they cannot control it.
I think there's certain
and there's no and there's no and there's no court system in the land that's going to go against that white privilege. None of them.
There's certain controls that we do have and we don't use. I mean, our money is power. And when we go and we back, say, movies and social media and things like that that depict us in a negative way, we are going ahead and saying that we agree with it. We're paying the money so it gets spread out about us. So it's just a matter of empowerment, knowing where your money goes, knowing that if there's something that's coming out that's negative and you don't want it to reflect you, you stop spending your money there, whether that's local or that's on a state level or a national level. That's the way that
Yeah, but that has to be consistent. That has to be consistent, but it has to start in education. Our educational system is screwed, especially if double-sided for the minority youth.
When he just mentioned about the problem with the police department down there. What did they do? They went and they started recruiting out of the high schools and letting them know that, okay, law enforcement is available to you. You don't have to sit there and wait for somebody that doesn't look like you.
But that's
to
a
beat
small
you up,
town, though.
Go get a job.
All I could say is this about the about him is that I wish he would explain himself clearly instead of sounding so narrow-minded.
Yeah.
Right. Wait a minute. I need to get back real quick before we go. So he said he believes slavery ended too early.
He did say that.
He did say that.
I didn't. I don't know what y'all are talking about with that. I'm not going to touch on that.
Well, Hot Rod does a show on Blog Talk Radio on Monday nights called The Absolute Truth. And he apparently he calls in there as well. So apparently, I guess he made a statement. Because he's very much a Trump supporter. Which, I mean, that's his right. But we know that people that support Trump are not really supportive of black people. But in any event, all I can say is when it comes down to white privilege, it is what it is. We can't really create black privilege because we don't even – there's certain privileges that we are not even allowed to have in 2018. The system has been rigged to go against us, and no matter how much we try to fight, it's always going to be against us. We were not supposed to be out of chains in 2018. We were supposed to be in chains. And with that being, like I said, with that being said, white privilege has been here and will continue to be here. And I just hope that there are some people out there that will continue to use it responsibly. So those that don't, you can kick rocks.
They won't.
And
they won't.
Yeah. So it's sad. But with that note, thank you, Mr. Magnetus, and hope I'm not messing that up. Thank you, Kiyonki, Hot Rod, K Dog, Big Red, and Miss Cherry.
Yep.
Thank you all for calling in. This was great topic.
Interesting.
Hope to catch you guys next Sunday. And Hot Rod is going on for tomorrow night.
Quick thing, the double standard of Roseanne Barr and her tweets with Samantha Bee. And also, can black people be racist towards black people?
Oh, yeah.
That's absolute truth. Tomorrow night at 10:30. And with that being said, everyone, God bless. Have a good night. Be safe out there. And
all right,
you know.
Peace out, guys.
Easy.
Good night.
Another one in the
can.
Menu. We out.
Good night.
Right. Later,
guys.
Later.
Take care.